Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you, and sometimes with the groups of people, specifically groups of musicians, because the Colorado Springs Philharmonic represents the finest music making in Southern Colorado. And we are going to be talking all things music this morning, including a soulful celebration of R&B. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. Joining us this morning today on The Extra, we have Thomas Wilson, who's the associate conductor of the Colorado Springs Philharmonic. First of all, welcome to The Extra, Thomas.
Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning. Well, I kind of teased at this celebration of R&B, and we're going to be talking about it a little later on. It's definitely something that anyone who has a passion for soul music from Ellis Hall and Ray Charles will really appreciate, those hits that you may remember, recall, or maybe are playing at other times, not right now, of course, because you're listening to this, but at other times when you're listening to things, include Georgia on My Mind, Ain't No Mountain, I Heard It Through the Grapevine, and Let the Good Times Roll, as well as many more. And those are some of the hits that are going to be featured this weekend, Friday and Saturday, correct?
That's correct. We have Ellis Hall coming. He does an amazing Ray Charles, although he's not just an imitator. He is a fantastic songwriter and vocalist himself, and he'll be doing some of his own tunes as well. But yes, it's a great exploration of gospel and blues and rhythm and blues, and we're just going to have a great time with the Philharmonic there as well.
Okay, so again, the times for this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 in the evening. Now, combining the Philharmonic's amazing musicians with this musician of Ellis Hall, what do you think it's going to bring to the table?
Well, you know, this is one of the great things about the Philharmonic, is that the Philharmonic does the, you know, jazz, commercial, Motown, all these other different styles so much better than most of the orchestras out there. And in the case of Ray Charles, he actually, when he was a kid, he learned music braille so that he could study Bach, Mozart, Beethoven. And so there's a natural affinity between these two, but there's nothing like hearing these great hits with a full orchestra there, not just a little studio orchestra, but a real full orchestra. It's such a great sound.
Now, Ray Charles was called the genius of soul. What do you think Ray Charles's, input into the music canon represents?
Well, we're talking about, 40 years at least, 50, probably a little over 50 now that I think about it, of just amazing music. And of course, he came on the scene in the 50s and 60s, just reaching out in all different directions. You know, he did a sort of country western style as well. He just, if it was music, he wanted to do it. And so he had this incredibly diverse career. And even when things went to disco and whatnot in the 70s, he came roaring back in the 80s with another great album, collaborating with many contemporary artists of that day as well, because he influenced so many people. So it's a career that I think reaches out in all directions to music. We really can't overstate just how important the music and the life of Ray Charles really was.
And this will be a collaboration, as you said, with musician Ellis Hall. So as a conductor, how do you prepare for guest musicians?
Well, they speak most in advance by the charts that they send us. And so I study all this. I get all this ready. I have a list of questions for the guest artists. We meet before we ever get in front of the orchestra and just run through everything. I usually know within about 2 minutes the kind of artist I'm working with. And with Ellis, of course, we're talking about just a first-rate singer-songwriter. And then it's in front of the orchestra, and I get to see how comfortable they are squaring off with 80 or so classical musicians. And then we just get to see that energy start to percolate. We get to see the the smiles and the encouragements from both sides, and pretty soon we've got a sound that's really starting to form. It's a really exciting process.
And this is an evolution, it sounds like, of the Philharmonic's journey, because this is definitely not, you know, Philharmonic concert like what maybe our mothers and fathers or grandparents were used to going to, right?
Well, you know, we've done things on the pop side for many, many years, and we've done plenty of rock and roll and blues concerts and that sort of thing. That's always been a part of what the Philharmonic does. But it is, you know, it's a stretch outside. Most of our musicians are trained heavily for the classical side. That's where we audition and everything. But for our musicians, I just feel like they have a greater affinity, a better talent for getting around to these different styles. And I do a lot of arranging for the Philharmonic. And sometimes I'll put something in front of them, and all I have to do is just a little bit of explanation of the style. They've got it, and they do it so well. Whereas sometimes when I work with other orchestras, it's not quite as easy. They just seem to have that natural affinity. So it's always fun to do this. And for the Philharmonic, our Pops concerts, where we do some things that are kind of out of our norm, are a big part of what we do.
And make you a favorite, I know, of a lot of music fans. And so if people are listening right now, they can go for more information. I understand tickets are being sold at the Pikes Peak Center box office, as well your website, correct?
Yes, csphilharmonic.org.
Great. All right. Well, we're going to continue talking about the exciting offerings as well as what else the Philharmonic has planned for the year ahead. When we come back, our guest today, Associate Conductor Thomas Wilson with the Colorado Springs Philharmonic. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, and today our focus is on the Colorado Springs Philharmonic and some exciting offerings, starting this weekend with a wonderful concert that's going to focus on the music of Ray Charles, Motown, and beyond, and it's going to be also featuring musician Ellis Hall. So we have our guest today, Associate Conductor Thomas Wilson. And Thomas, earlier we were talking about how Ray Charles was called the genius of soul. If that's the case, then what would Mr. Hall be called? What would his title be?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if
maybe the ambassador of soul.
Right. I don't know. I mean, he can get around. He can do so many different styles. The man has a 5-octave range, if you can imagine. He's an electric guitarist. He just goes when he has it. And he's so free when he performs. So I'm fully expecting there are going to be some interesting detours this weekend. Sometimes he'll just get an idea and he'll just go with it for a while. And I'm really excited about that. But he's a fantastic songwriter as well. So he's creating new music, you know, just flowing right from those traditions. And we're going to do at least 2 of his original songs this weekend as well with the orchestra. And so it's going to be really exciting. And of course, the big favorites, you know, Let the Good Times Roll and Ain't No Mountain Higher. And of course, that great gospel version of Ray Charles doing America the Beautiful. That's got to happen. And it's just going to be a blast.
Right, right. And when you're talking about those special skills that Ellis Hall brings to the stage, I mean, first of all, the 5-octave range, plus those songwriting skills. I mean, you know, it takes a lot to be a musician, but to also have that creativity to create the music as well, it's got to bring a more, I guess, expansive, I guess, approach to some of these classics that you're tackling.
Absolutely. You know, a great way to prepare yourself to hear this man is just to go online. He's got some of his original material on YouTube, and you can hear him. He's just fantastic. But yes, creating anything is always much more difficult. And so you really have to search your soul. You have to draw on all the traditions behind you, and you have to try to still create something that's actually new and special. And I think he really has done that in his songwriting as well. So those two original songs that we have planned, and who knows, maybe more will show up on the program, but those two original songs that we have planned, I think will be actually a really big highlight of the evening, because we get to hear something that is in the making now. Although he is so highly respected in the industry, Ellis is just really making his impact.
And so much of soul music does stand on the shoulders of gospel and spirituals. And is that Ellis Hall's background as well?
You can hear it there, yeah. You can hear it in his music. But he's also drawing on later artists as well. So it's really fascinating. I mean, you hear Ray Charles there. You hear sort of, you know, Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder, and you even hear, I like his guitar work a lot of, and some of his phrases and everything reminds me sort of Seal. So then we're clear into the 90s. You know, he's drawing from decades and decades of music, going clear back to Ray Charles in the 50s. And there's just such great tradition there, and it's part of the Great American Songbook, which is just we just love celebrating that at the Philharmonic.
Right. And what do you expect as the audience's reaction? Like, I, when you talk about a song like "Ain't No Mountain," I'm envisioning that audience members might at some point start clapping. They might start taking to their feet because those are the kind mm-hmm. of songs that get you moving.
Oh yeah, yeah. Some clapping along. See if you can keep yourself from ending up dancing in the aisle. and I mean, it's infectious music. As many different versions, you know, being in Colorado Springs of America the Beautiful, as I've done, just listening to that Ray Charles version, it just gets me moving, get me going every time. It just gets me excited and happy. And, you know, he did something special with that. He didn't even start with the traditional verse that we all know. He started with a later verse because he felt he had something to say there first. And then once the tune's there, then he actually brings the audience in to singing the familiar verse. And so it's like, you know, there's a certain magic there. That not only are we drawing on these older traditions, but that each of these artists, you know, molds things and takes some of these traditional songs and does something special with it. And you just can't help. You can't help but love it and to start moving and clapping and maybe even dancing, although I'm a terrible dancer, to be honest, Shannon.
Well, and Ray Charles, I mean, it just in and of itself, himself, such an icon and a standard bearer for civil rights. I mean, do you think there's also, I guess, a lot of meaning that you can read into the songs that you'll be presenting that also represent, you know, something very modern, you know, Black Lives Matter, that kind of movement that has been in the news so much recently? I mean, it has resonance in some of these songs.
Well, you know, it's interesting with Ray Charles because he really did want to speak through his music, but he did take a stand now and then. I think it might have been in Tennessee. Don't hold me to that. It might have been in Nashville, but he was set to play a concert, and then he learned right before that the facility was going to be
segregated.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he cleared out of town. He's like, no, I'm not going to do it. And so he did take a stand now and again, and so we owe him a lot for that. He was one of those that was willing to be brave and willing to stand for people being together and having the same opportunities and the same equalities and rights that everybody else has. So that's an important part of his legacy. So there's a certain beauty to the fact that at Pike's Peak Center, just, you know, get your seat and there's no other garbage to worry about. Just come enjoy the concert.
Come one, come all, no bravery required. Just show your support for the Colorado Springs Philharmonic. We're going to be talking about what's next for the Pops series for the Philharmonic when we continue here on The Extra. But again, want to guide our listeners. If you're listening to this, you can buy tickets by going to csphilharmonic.com. pikespeak.org. They're also available at the Pikes Peak Center box office. And as well, other ways that you can support the Philharmonic this year can be found on that website. We have more to talk about with Thomas Wilson when we come back. Thomas, the Associate Conductor of the Colorado Springs Philharmonic. You're listening to the Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today we've been talking to Thomas Wilson with the Colorado Springs Philharmonic about some exciting happenings coming up. First up, of course, is their music and celebration of Ray Charles and other soul icons coming up this upcoming Friday and Saturday. Those performances at 7:30 at the Pikes Peak Center, and you can get your tickets by going to the center's box office or by going to csphilharmonic.org. But Thomas, this is just, I guess, a taste, a little soupçon, a little appetizer for what else is planned for the Pop Series this year. What else is coming down the line?
The next one I am so excited about. It is one of my favorite movies of all time, Raiders of the Lost Ark, with John Williams. Fantastic score played by the Philharmonic. There's nothing like watching one of these classic films live. It's so exciting.
Right.
So that's coming up. That's coming up next on the Pop Series. Our music director, Joseph Caballet Domenic, will be conducting that. And then further down the road, the end of the Pop season, we'll be doing a tribute to Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul. And so we get to have another night of just being like excited and moving around in our seats with classics like Respect and Rescue Me.
And here's just a sampling. Let's see if we can go straight to this. Let's see if it'll play here. I've got it pulled up. Of course, it'll probably go into an ad. Makes me ready for an adventure, just like Indy, right?
Yeah, it's a great score. It really is. You know, and John Williams has been around for such a long time, and he just, believe it or not, he just topped the charts in Europe again. He did a recording of his music with the Berlin Philharmonic, and that is a big step out of their comfort zone for the Berlin Philharmonic, and it's just fantastic. And it shot straight to the charts, straight to number one in Europe. So he's been around such a long time. Believe it or not, he got his start, if you can imagine, clear back on the show Gilligan's Island.
Really?
He wrote music for Gilligan's Island, and then he's been just going like crazy ever since. And of course, Star Wars was probably the single biggest film score success in history up to that point. I mean, you might even remember there was a time when they were playing Star Wars on the pop stations.
Right, on the radio stations, you bet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. He's just such an American icon. And his score for Raiders of the Lost Ark is just infectious. You really can't imagine that film without John Williams' music.
No.
And for the orchestra, it's so exciting because it's real music. I do a fair amount of orchestrating for film and television. It's easy work and easy money. And so much of that stuff is just backdrop. It would never fly in the concert hall. It's not something you can really listen to. But John Williams' score is... You can really listen, and you're always like finding new things, and it's so fun. And so for the orchestra, it's like, yeah, we really get to do something exciting. And there's, you know, and of course this is a classic film. This was a classic, iconic film that a lot of folks grew up with.
I was wondering that from the musician standpoint, if this was, because I don't know, I can read a little bit of music, but, you know, these are such powerful themes that are going on, but I wasn't sure if from the musician standpoint, if it came across as something too simplistic, but you're saying it's not, it's quite the opposite.
John Williams is maybe the only composer in the modern era whose music stands 100% on its own. We wouldn't even have to do it with the film. It's the music is that interesting, that detailed, that exciting. And so when you get both happening at the same time and you're really getting to hear it live instead of just sort of, you know, in the background and in a theater through a bunch of speakers, it's just an overwhelming experience. It's so exciting. We did, speaking of John Williams, we did his score for E.T. not too long ago. And that's another iconic film. And, you know, that movie would not be what it is without John Williams' music. But to experience it live, to actually be there and hear the Philharmonic playing the score, it's far more magical than it could ever be in a theater.
Love it, love it. Okay, so to our listeners, put these dates down on your calendar if you're interested in this, April 15th and 16th. I'm guessing tickets go fast for something like that, Thomas, so probably people need to start thinking right now about buying tickets when they can, right?
Absolutely. You know, we just sold out our Beethoven concerts over the weekend. People are coming back to concerts now, so don't assume just because of COVID that there's always going to be seats available. Get your seats right away.
Get them while they're hot. Okay, so then the season wrap-up comes in May, and what do you have planned for then?
That's Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul. So we're going to have another fantastic guest artist, and we'll be playing Aretha's music all night, one giant hit after another. And again, another outstanding guest, and great hits. I mean, who doesn't love Aretha Franklin's music? And I really can't wait, especially for Respect. That's the one I always like the most of hers. But it's going to be a great way to end the season. And so we'll end sort of dancing and clapping and having fun again.
I like it. I'm not familiar with Aretha Franklin as an artist. I didn't watch. There was a great, I think, biography film that came out not so long ago, and I missed that one, unfortunately. Did she write her own music? I mean, these songs, or are there songwriters who really knew how to tailor their songs to her amazing voice?
She did write some of her own songs, and the difference is in the pop world that you might have four or five composers all involved. You might have a composer or a lyricist, and then you might have the artist changes things around and whatever. So on any given song you might hear on the radio, you might have four or five credits for that one song. It's very different than, you know, like Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, you know, or something like that, where it, you know, it came from one person. So it's, but yes, she was involved in writing some of her own songs, but she does share credit often with other composers and lyricists.
Right. Well, she sure knew how to put her musical talent to amazing use. So again, that comes in May with the Colorado Springs Philharmonic. But up this weekend, we want to tell people about how they can catch Ray Charles Motown and Beyond with the Colorado Springs Philharmonic featuring Ellis Hall. We'll continue that conversation in just a few minutes. Need to take a short commercial break here. Our guest today, Thomas Wilson, will be back after these messages. Welcome back to The Extra. Always glad to have you along for these hour-long discussions and conversations about things that connect us with our community. And it's certainly the fiber of our community is made all the richer by the Colorado Springs Philharmonic. Philharmonic with a rich history here in Colorado Springs, bringing the music classics, not just classical music, the music classics to audiences throughout the region. And certainly when you're talking about the music classics, Ray Charles, Motown and Beyond, ooh, that just rings of classic enjoyment, classic soul thumping music, classic gospel, classic chart topping success. And so Thomas Wilson is our guest today, the associate conductor who's going to lead the Philharmonic through its paces. So audiences will not want to miss this opportunity to enjoy these Motown classics, right?
Oh, well, it's timeless music and endless fun. So yeah, you have to hear it.
Yeah, and this is all featuring Ellis Hall. And we talked a little bit about Ellis Hall at the top of the show. Why don't you, again, go into a little bit more depth with Hall's background and what he's bringing to the experience?
Well, Ellis Hall is, he's a shockingly well-established vocalist and songwriter. And but nonetheless, you know, it's a little harder to break through. You know, it's not, things aren't quite the same as they were years ago, but he's so highly respected because he's as a songwriter, that's the most important thing, that creative ability. And then of course he's got an astonishing range and is just an infectious performer. When you see him, it's just so exciting and so fun to listen to him. And he's very much in the moment. Sometimes he'll just take an idea and run for a little while, and you never know what's going to happen. You'll hear him do the same song, you know, five times, and it's five different experiences. But he is so well tapped into the traditions that came before him. Of course, Ray Charles, the centerpiece of this program, but we'll also be hearing a little bit of Marvin Gaye, a little bit of Stevie Wonder. And he's so tapped into these traditions, and so he really brings it all together. That's why I'm really so excited to bring him to Colorado Springs and to share in this music with him. It's just going to be a great evening, something for absolutely everyone.
And you mentioned also bringing a couple of Ellis's original compositions to the audience.
Yes, and with the orchestra. So he's, you know, he's serious enough. He's having orchestral arrangements of his songs made, and so he can share them through that medium of a full symphony orchestra. So it's really exciting that there are artists out there that are doing this, not just as a, you know, sometimes they'll do the songs first, and then later in their career maybe they'll have them orchestrated. And he's doing this from the beginning, and I think that's really great. And it says a lot about who he is as an artist as well.
Well, I know that, you know, myself, I often will go to a performance of something or other by myself. I'm very good at buying those solo tickets. But this is the kind of event where, I mean, if you can get a group to go, talk about a fun night, huh?
Yeah, there's something there for the whole family. And of course, getting together with some friends, you know, I Flash Cadillac. A lot of them live here in Colorado. They're a great old rock and roll band. They were in the movie American Graffiti, and they just had an important anniversary recently, and they were have this big anniversary concert. And I just grabbed some friends. I said, "Hey guys, let's go. You know, this is timeless rock and roll. You're gonna have fun no matter what." And we ended up having an absolute blast. So yeah, there's something about this music. There's a certain joy there. And I fear we might lose that. So let's make sure we're still enjoying this great music of the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even some new charts from today. So you just, you know, so many decades, so much great music, you can't go wrong.
In our final minute here, Thomas, because we're almost out of time, why don't you just tell us what you think that, especially as we're coming out of this pandemic, that arts enjoyment adds to people's lives and adds to our community's life?
Well, you know, we are all faced now with really too much options in entertainment. And so you sit down and you try to pick something out for an evening, and you realize you just spent an hour and a half just trying to find something. But there is a way to focus that, and that really is live performance, because our seasons are so well planned, and we get so many people, and we work really hard to put together an exciting and diverse season. And then to have the Philharmonic back now, you know, these musicians are the best of the best. So to have them back on stage and have these in-person live performances again, it is such a great thing. And there, without that, I just can't imagine what life would be. So I'm so excited that the Philharmonic is making music again, and this particular concert just reaches out to everybody. And so this is really another great opportunity for the community to come together and enjoy great music.
Mm. And music helps uplift us all. It helps us transcend our problems in a way, and takes you really away from, your mental status just simply departs sometimes your body as you are enjoying some of this music. The power of music is great, that's for sure. All right, our guest today, Thomas Wilson, we owe you just a debt of gratitude for joining us and sharing all the exciting happenings with the Colorado Springs Philharmonic.
Well, thank you, Shannon.
And again, if you would like to find out more about the Philharmonic's performances, about how you can obtain tickets to their upcoming performances this weekend of Ray Charles, Motown and Beyond featuring Ellis Hall, you can go to csphilharmonic.org. You can also purchase tickets at the Pikes Peak Center box office. To our listeners, thank you for joining in on this hour of conversation here on The Extra. Tom Martino is straight ahead. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio.